Thanks for listening to Schlereth than Evans On Demand, brought to you by Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. If you're in the market for replacement windows, there's only one place to turn. That's Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. Visit them online at windowsforyourhome.com.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Epic Mountain Gear. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Are you ready?
Let's clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
It's gone from suck to blow.
What?
All right, you know, we had a scrimmage yesterday, and it was interesting because I thought it was a pretty good scrimmage. I think, you know, obviously our starting quarterback has got legitimate chops to be a starting quarterback. I think he gives this team, you know, great excitement for the future and where this team could go offensively. I think it permeates the whole organization. I think the defense is excited about it. And I was actually pretty intrigued with the third quarterback in Chad Kelly, but I think it's time. I've always talked about a middle-ish of June quarterback. I think you need a veteran on this roster because after watching what I watched yesterday, I just don't feel like you've got a situation where you can weather a storm if Case Keenum had to sit for three or four games with an injury. I think it's time to get yourself a veteran backup. And this comment by Chris Harris Jr. really made me think and made me think, to the point of it's time to go out and find yourself this veteran quarterback. Here's what he had to say.
When I watch film, kind of like the one offense is doing something totally different than the two offense. So it's like they're a level 10. Everybody else is like a level, like a way level lower.
One team offense, first team offense is doing a completely different offense. It's like we can execute the entirety of the offense. The second team has got to go, let's pare this down and let's do a little bit more read zone stuff and let's do a little bit more boot keep game and let's basically take you out of your offense. I just don't think you can go into a season where you have to have two separate offenses. Here's what we want to run and here's what we're delegated to running if in fact we don't have our starting quarterback. I don't think that's a great way to go into the season, and I think sooner rather than later you're going to see a veteran quarterback here with the Denver Broncos as you roll into the season, because I don't think as it's currently constructed, this roster with Paxton Lynch and Chad Kelly, I don't believe you can go into the season that way. So I think they're going to get themselves a veteran quarterback very soon here, maybe second or third preseason game. They've got to have a veteran on this roster when they get their cleats on the grass.
That was awesome.
Clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
So here, Troy, here's the guy that makes sense to me. Matt Moore makes sense to me. He's a free agent. You don't have to give anything up for him right now. Matt Moore played in Miami while Vance Joseph was coaching there. When they prepared to play the Dolphins last season, Matt Moore, a couple of weeks earlier, had played against Miami. I actually called the game. He came in after Jay Cutler got dinged in the first quarter and played really well. So there was some good film on Matt Moore. I think he played, several games. I think he started one and played in another, I believe. And so there was some good film on him. He's a veteran guy. He's been in multiple offenses. He understands the NFL. He can produce for you and keep you afloat for a couple of weeks if, in fact, your starting quarterback gets hurt. I don't believe that Paxton can do that for you. I don't believe that if you lost your starting quarterback that you could roll Paxton out there and anybody would believe within the organization, yeah, we got a chance to go out and compete for these 3 weeks. I don't believe that anybody has that kind of faith in Paxton Lynch within that organization. And whether they have it upstairs or not doesn't really matter. I don't believe in the locker room anybody has any faith that if you rolled Paxton Lynch out there that anybody would go, oh yeah, 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 we can win with that. I just don't think that's the case.
Well, and if you have to dumb the game plan down to the point of, you know, basic offense, as they did a couple years ago when they beat Jacksonville and he started, and they won that game on Bradley Roby's pick six, but they ran an offense that was, you know, was juvenile. It was so basic.
Uh-huh.
And if you do that, it would disappoint players, especially if, let's say, Case is throwing the ball around the yard, and you've got a dynamic offense, and now he's hurt, and you bring in Paxton, and it's like you're going back to the 70s in the offensive concepts. That's an indictment on Paxton. It's not the offense at that point, because the offense is running and it's on, you know, clicking.
Right.
What changed? One piece. Because of that one piece, you have to change to everything. So again, I'm with you, and I don't have anything against Paxton Lynch. I don't. But it's year three now. they haven't done the perfect job developing him. I'll admit that. The coach, some of the coaching changed that. But I haven't seen him buy in the way I thought I would see him buy in year three. To where, in other words, let me put it this way. If a guy's struggling in year three, but he's just working and he's grinding and he's living it and eating it every day, mm-hmm. guys can kind of rationalize that. Hey, it's not there, but we see it. We see something. We get it. They feel like the light bulb's going to turn on. You don't sense that with Lynch. That's number one. And B, he has no type A personality. That's been my bigger issue with him. I want my quarterback to be a type A guy. Grab guys in the huddle, lead right. with confidence, lead the room. You don't have to be yeller screamer guy, but you have to have a presence. And when I watch Paxton, there's no presence there. There's no there. It's twos versus twos in the scrimmage. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. He was awful yesterday. You were there?
Yeah.
That's not opinion. That's based on stats, watching it. Now, he had a good day a couple days before that, but again, he should be able to string together good days in his third year at camp.
Everything just looks late. Everything looks delayed. Everything looks, let's call it muddy. Like you ever work out in the sand? You know, you go, hey man, we're going to do this, we're going to go to the beach and we're going to work in the sand and we're going to run sprints in the sand. Man, you don't run very fast. Right? It bogs you down. We used to have this sand hill. I used to work out in the summertime. We'd go to this sand hill and you'd run up this sandy hill. Like, it's hard, right? It's a grind. It's like, man, it's hard to pick your feet up and move it. And that's why I watch him operate the offense. It's like they're playing in sand. It's just slow.
It's like just, he's on a dial-up connection and Case Keenum's on high speed.
Right.
It's like,
right. Yeah,
and eventually
he's on AOL.
It gets there. He's the AOL connection.
Right.
And that's the issue, Mark, for me. You know this. You watch all the film. You can have all of the hardware in the world, but you cannot succeed at quarterback without the software. If you don't have the cerebral piece, the football cerebral piece, you have no chance to succeed at quarterback in the NFL.
This is always one of those situations. I'll take it beyond that. I'll take it to any position. If you don't process information quickly. Now, processing information has nothing to do with your intelligence level. There are plenty of people who are way smarter than me, right? They can't play in the NFL because they don't process it quickly enough. There are scientists, you know, that don't process it real quickly.
Science.
But, there is, just like there's elite level 40 times, there's elite level processing when the brain fires, you know, when the signal fires, how quickly it travels to the extremities. When your brain says, this is what we need to do, and all of a sudden you say, hey man, all of a sudden I gotta break to the right, and you break to the right, there are some guys that are gonna do that quicker than others simply because that signal travels faster. And that's legitimate science. So just like you have an elite level 40 time or an elite level vertical jump, you have an elite level processor. And it doesn't have anything to do with intelligence. It has to do with how fast you process information. And everybody's different. And if you can't process information quickly, then you can't play. It's why Josie Jewell can run a slower 40 time at the combine. And when you put him on film, he makes every tackle. Why? Because he processes information incredibly quickly and he just gets there. He's meeting the running back at the hole all the time. And you're like, how does he do it? Well, because he sees it, he processes it quickly, and he is there. So there's no wasted motion. It's all fluid. You know, there's fluidity of motion in that. And when I watch Paxton, you know, operate this offense, like I said, it's, you call it a dial-up connection. It looks like he's operating in sand. So I guess my question, and we'll answer it on the other side, is if they do go the route that I think they're going to go, and that's picking up a veteran quarterback like Matt Moore, what do you do with Paxton? I'm going to ask you next.
Mark Schlereth here. When you're looking to replace your windows, you want the best. That's why I endorse Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. They sell Infinity from Marvin fiberglass windows. You can't buy Infinity windows from big box stores, so you know they never compromise on quality. Infinity fiberglass windows offer unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and durability. So call my friends at Gravina's Window Center of Littleton, 303-794-0490, or find them online online at windowsforyourhome.com and make sure you tell them Stink sent you.
Schlereth than Evans, Mark Schlereth alongside Denver 7, Troy Rank. Sitting right over here. How are, you know, so I tease going into this thing, and so I want your opinion. Yeah, you know, I think you've got to get a veteran quarterback, and I think most people feel the same way as I do, that Lynch hasn't progressed to the point where you can trust him if things were to go awry, if you had an injury that you had to sit out your starting quarterback for 3 or 4 weeks. So I think, you know, a veteran quarterback makes sense to me. Matt Moore seems to make a lot of sense to me because he's got a relationship with Vance Joseph. And, you know, he's been around the league for a long time. If I'm right, if that's the case, regardless if it's Matt Moore, if it's somebody else, what do you do, Troy? If you're the Denver Broncos, what do you do with Paxton Lynch? Cause I can't imagine him having a lot of value on the open market
See you later.
Well, to trade him, you would be basically conceding probably, hey, try to get a 6th or 7th round conditional pick at this point. I mean, the league knows that's the problem. I mean, he's been around long enough that while some team would like to probably take a chance on him, you know, the league, you're around it every day, you live it. You know, there's always, we can fix him if we get him in our system. So there would be someone that would give him a chance, but his value in a trade, unfortunately, is probably at an all-time low. I mean, other than being injured. So what would you do with him? If you go out and get a, let's say hypothetically, a Matt Moore, which you make great points that Vance Joseph would have known him in Miami. He's been around forever. He's shown he can come in for a week or two and hold the, you know, kind of hold it down. Then that could save Lynch and make him third string. And then Chad Kelly would be a casualty. Would you try to sneak him onto the practice squad? And it would be similar to what happened with Kyle Sloter. The guy performs and it looks like he's outperforming Lynch, but you have the money invested in Lynch. And remember, it would be a $4.4 million dead cap hit, too, to move Lynch, like if you just were to cut him. So it's complicated there. But what would I do? Again, the Broncos aren't – if you're going to try to trade for a Bridgewater, you're on the league's timetable. The league is in no hurry to trade quarterbacks.
Right.
They want to wait till the very end until someone gets hurt and you overpay for a backup. But if it's Matt Moore – that could happen sooner. He's a free agent, right? I mean, anybody that's a free agent, you could speed that process up. If Lynch goes out and doesn't perform well against opposite of Simeon, the optics of this are going to be great. You know, you have one series, Cousins versus Case Keenum. You have Simeon versus Lynch, and then Sloter versus Chad Kelly.
Right.
And if Lynch goes out and just plays poorly and Simeon plays well and Sloter plays well, I mean, at some point you just have to step back and go, okay, this is not working. We can't wait anymore. It's not working. We need to bring someone in to protect ourselves. But if that's not a free agent, Mark, you're on somebody else's timetable. But Lynch could still survive, my roundabout answer, as a third stringer here if you bring in a veteran. But then at that point, Kelly would be a casualty.
Yeah, I would sit there and say, okay, we drafted in the first round. Two, you know, we gave you a redshirt year. Three, we tried to make you a starter last year. Like, we gave you every opportunity to win that job. At what point do we say this isn't working? At what point do you lose, as a front office, as a coaching staff, do you lose credibility when you keep trying to make a guy a player? Like, in your locker room, because I can't imagine, you know, it's interesting. I'm watching, you know, him taking off and scrambling. Paxton Lynch in practice taking off and scrambling and getting fired up about it. And my sense is that the guys in the huddle just kind of roll their eyes. Like, you're fired up about a scramble. Like, are you fired up about any play? Like I think there's enough warranted skepticism within that locker room. Remember one guy telling me, you know, he named the starter last year and he's the first guy out of the locker room. Like, those things, those optics don't sit well with veteran players, especially when you're trying to, you know, you take pride in what you do. You're trying to win football games. You're trying to, even last year, you think they don't have pride? I mean, I just know how good it is to win. I know how much fun it is to win and how much work it is to win. I also know how disappointing it is to lose. And to be involved in a season where you're not very good like they were last year, and how much effort, how much of the grind, like it doesn't change. You're still hurt. You're still injured. you know, you're still grinding, you're still preparing, you're still practicing, you're still doing all those things, but the results aren't there. Every week you lose. That, I mean, that's mentally, it's exhausting. At least when you win, you know, you like that's a little bit of a healing salve for all the misery you put yourself through. When you lose like that, so I would look at those guys in a locker room, even if Paxton Lynch acts fired up, I would believe at this point, after all the opportunities you've been given, there would have to be some healthy skepticism within the own in his own locker room for how guys respond to that kind of, you know, oh, here we go, you know, like, come follow me, guys. I had this one coach tell me about a quarterback, and I'm not going to mention names because I just don't want to bash the guy, that basically called a protection out of the wrong formation, and the offensive linemen are like, dude, you can't, like, we can't protect you. You cannot call that out of that formation. And he's like, follow me, I'm the leader, you know, and they're just like, oh, here we go. Like, you're going to get, all right.
This is what you want.
Like, if this is what you want, but just remember, like, if they bring this blitz off the backside, you are going to get Rydell right to the, you know, right square to the chin. But that's, you know, that's the way you want it. Like, you get to the point where you're just like, come on, dude. You got to be, you know, you got to be smarter than that. So, you know, I wonder at what point, if it doesn't all of a sudden get really good, like if it doesn't have this miraculous change, at what point you hurt the integrity of your football team? Like at what point do guys just kind of like, I can't believe, you know, this particular guy is still here. And I've been there. I've been in that locker room. I've had guys that you just look at that are on your football team and they're not on their they're not on your football team because of merit. They're on the football team because of, you know, hope.
Well, you saw it when you played, weren't you? Marcus Nash was with you guys, first rounder. Like Shanahan just bailed on a couple first rounders.
Yeah.
Where he just realized, you know what? It's just not going to happen here. We misfired. And again, it's harder at quarterback. I get it. And it's hard to admit, you know what? Maybe we just misjudged how he would do in our environment. But the problem is, again, it's just the external, how the other rest of the guys are receiving it at some point. You could try to convince yourself it's going to happen, but when the 52 other guys are like, we're not seeing it. And at some point, you have to earn your spot.
Right.
And they haven't been perfect in how they developed him. I agree. You know, the changing coaching staff and changing coordinators. I get that. But at some point, it's on him. At some point, it falls back to him, and that's the part that's discouraging, is I thought his ability to play faster and process information in year three, we would see tangible signs of that, and I did not see that yesterday's scrimmage.
And I didn't either, and I think sometimes the best thing you can do for a kid is be like, hey, listen, it hasn't worked out here. You know, part of it's on us, part of it's on you. The best thing that could happen to you is get a fresh start somewhere else. Sometimes that's the best thing you can do for somebody, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that works out. It'll be interesting to see what direction they go in, if they continue to, you know, to continue to kind of coddle and move them along, or if they just say, hey, it's time, you know, it didn't work out here. And listen, that happens on every team, every franchise, every year. There's a guy that just, hey, Cleveland just traded their first rounder from a year ago, right? Or 2 years ago, whatever it was, to the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, Corey Coleman.
Corey Coleman. See ya. It didn't work out. We move on. So anyhow, speaking of Cleveland, the poop emoji, one of my favorite emojis. You ever use the poop emoji? I do. I'll tell you how that relates to an NFL team next in Four Down Territory.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Epic Mountain Gear. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
I want Mason Royal.
This is Four Down Territory.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Pound it, launch it, and bring the funk.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. You just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
I know some of you drove all the way from Philly here. I have a good understanding that you don't have money just to waste. So that means that you put hard-earned money that you could be saving to come out here and celebrate with your boy. So thank you. Thank you for loving me the way that I love you. I love you back.
Man, that's great. That's Brian Dawkins, former Denver Bronco, former Philadelphia Eagle, and as he gets inducted into Pro Football's Hall of Fame. You know what's crazy about that for me, Troy? I had no idea. I heard this weekend. First player ever from Clemson to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
That's probably going to change in the next 20 years, given the talent that's rolling through there now. But that does surprise
me.
But
they've always been, you know, they've always been kind of a powerhouse of the South, right? I mean,
well, they were in the early 80s with Danny Ford. They won a title, and they were kind of always the team that couldn't take the next step. And then ever since Dabo Swinney took over, I mean, they are now, they're right there with Alabama every year now.
Yeah,
so, Hopkins will go in for me, DeAndre Hopkins. But you're going to see some dudes going.
It was shocking to me to hear that B-Doc is the first guy ever from Clemson. You know who played here with Denver that was a Clemson guy was Michael Dean Perry, right? Michael Dean Perry was a really good football player.
The little brother of the fridge.
The little brother of the fridge. He could play now with Cleveland all those years. Then, of course, here with the Denver Broncos. Next on Four Down Territory.
Second down.
You guys know how I feel, obviously, about Cam. I've been very clear about that for a long time. I think if you ask the guys on this team, the guys that have played with him, it'll be hard-pressed to find anybody to say anything bad about him. And obviously, I'd be at the top of that list. I've told him a lot. He's been the best thing that's ever happened to my career. You know, coming here, this has been the best 8 years of my career, and obviously, he's a big part of that.
That is obviously Greg Olsen on Cam Newton after Calvin Benjamin, former Carolina Panther, former first rounder for Carolina, I believe, was traded midway through last season, basically ripped Cam Newton for being inaccurate and not a very good quarterback in his time with Buffalo. And the Buffalo, Sean McDermott, who was the defensive coordinator there, now the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, kind of got after Calvin Benjamin a little bit. But it does go to show you, like, Cam Newton's a polarizing figure. You know, you kind of either love him or you can't stand him, one or the other. I know he does a lot of stuff, a lot of great things in the Carolina area, a lot of stuff for charity, a lot of stuff for kids and stuff, but there are a lot of people that he just rubs the wrong way.
Yeah, it didn't surprise me that Benjamin was critical of him. You wish it would happen. You always wish you would say it when they're there. It's always, you know, stinks. The guy leaves the team and then he's like, oh, I never liked this guy. But, you know, Cam's issues, number one, he's not accurate.
Yeah.
And he likes to run. So as a receiver, he's not your ideal quarterback. And the point Benjamin was making is, how different would my career have looked if I had Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger type, Drew Brees? He's right. He would be better because they sit around the pocket and they throw, and Cam likes to run around. And he's not the most accurate guy. That's not opinion. That's fact. But, you know, he benefited also from Newton when they went to the Super Bowl. And I would say the thing about Benjamin is he's had issues of not showing up in shape multiple times, you know. So, I mean, and I get McDermott saying, hey, tone it down. But he has a point in this. If Cam Newton's going to be eventually Hall of Famer, consistent Pro Bowl, All-Pro guy, he's got to be more accurate with the football.
There's no question about that. Next in Four Down Territory.
Third down.
Hey, Browns, you are a factory of sadness.
Have you seen this thing going around about the Browns and their just inadequacy? Doesn't even. I mean, it's not even the tip of the iceberg when it comes to their inability to draft. Since 2009, their first rounders. Go ahead, you have that list, right?
Yeah, this stat, even by pathetic standards, is mind blowing. Cleveland's had 11 first round picks in the 8 drafts between 2009. In 2016. None are left on the team. Let me go down this list, folks, of guys that have busted out. 2009, Alex Mack, that was a good pick.
And he's still playing with Atlanta. And is a real difference maker.
But they moved on from him. And Joe Hayden. But you go down the next. Phil Taylor, who busted out as a defensive tackle. He spent a brief time here in 2011. The 2012 drafts is really where it started. Trent Richardson, third overall. Brandon Whedon, 22nd overall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that didn't work out. Barcavius Mingo, sixth overall in 2013. Justin Gilbert and Johnny Manziel, both in the first round in 14. And then they traded Danny Shelton to the Patriots. Cameron Irvin, the center, is now gone.
Mm-hmm.
And they just traded Corey Coleman last night to the Bills. I mean, and some of the guys they miss, you know, Julio Jones. And the one that hurts this one, Corey Coleman, the reason this is coming up, they traded down out of two because they didn't like Carson Wentz.
Right.
Their metrics guys decided Wentz is just kind of a guy. We don't have to stay there. They traded out of two and ended up their prize pick was Coleman. Oh, my word. Oh, my word. I mean, Wentz has a chance to be a perennial all-pro, and you have to give up on Coleman. Not only did he not produce, it was because he was immature. Like,
right.
You missed on every level.
By the way, one game they had a chance to win, Coleman's the guy that dropped it in the corner of the end zone, I believe, against the Packers. Right? I mean, you had a chance to win. You went 0-16 last year. You had one dude, you had one job to do. Catch the ball in the end zone. You dropped it. We lose 0-16. That's Coleman's highlight of his Browns career. Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
What's up, Jets fans? Man, it's a pleasure to be signed now. Very excited. Very special moment. Let's do it. Jet up.
I don't know about Jet Up by Sam Darnold. Is that a thing? Jet Up?
I've never heard Jet Up. I've heard J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Jet Up. That's like Cowboy Up, right? Or something like that. Jet Up.
That doesn't work. That's
Wheels Up. You go Wheels Up.
Wheels Up.
Wheels Up.
Wheels,
and then you get an endorsement
say,
deal.
Up, Jets. Wheels Up.
Wheels dramatic Up, Jets.
Dramatic pause. Jets.
And then you could probably get yourself a endorsement deal with Wheels Up. Does anybody know? Let's get that kid on the blower. Let's get him on the phone. Help him out a little bit with his endorsement claims over there. So apparently the Jets super impressed with Sam Darnold, super impressed with the work ethic, the football acumen, and looks like that Sam Darnold will get an opportunity to be the Jets starter quite possibly week one.
I don't see it. I see McCown starting week one. I mean, the thing about Darnold, he was a turnover machine last year at USC,
mm-hmm.
but I do think he is going to be a really good pro quarterback. He's 21 years old. There's no reason to rush this if you're the Jets. You've got to get this right. I mean, we talk about the Browns, you know, the issues they've had. The problems with the Jets outside of a couple years of Mark Sanchez, they have been unable to develop a quarterback, a franchise guy. There's a reason they haven't won a Super Bowl since Joe Namath. I mean, they just haven't had that, you know, stability at quarterback. Why rush Darnold in? I mean, if he's not ready, and Josh McCown's the perfect placeholder to buy him a month.
Right.
You know, buy him five weeks.
There's no question, and Josh McCown is a guy that, you know, has bounced around. You want to talk about the ultimate journeyman, but a guy who really understands his role. He can play, but he understands, he relishes the opportunity to pass knowledge. He relishes the opportunity to be a mentor. He relishes the opportunity to teach young guys how to study and how to prepare and how to become professionals, you know? And so he's in a perfect situation. I would say this, though, if you're Todd Bowles and you're thinking, shoot, if we start a veteran quarterback and we lose, this could be it for me. If I start a rookie, maybe it buys me a little bit more time. You know, I played with Todd Bowles. Todd is a really good coach and a really good guy. And I don't think he's one of those guys that I think he would do right by the young player. Like, he's going to play the guys that have the best opportunity to give them a chance to win. So if he thinks that's Sam Darnold, even in week one, that's the direction they'll go. But I'm with you. I think it's better to let the guy kind of sit and marinate in the NFL season before you give him the opportunity to play in it.
And it could mean this for Bronco fans. It looks like by all indications, Teddy Bridgewater is going to be available at the end of training camp if you have to wait till that long to find a veteran.
All right. Well, we'll see exactly how that goes. If they sign a veteran or if they're waiting around for a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, but then you got to fight everybody else for that particular, you know, if he becomes available in trade, then you got to fight with everybody else to get that trade. Vance Joseph calls Case Keenum a game manager. Is that an insult or is it a good thing? We'll discuss next. Schlereth and Evans, Mark Schlereth alongside Troy Rank as Mike Evans is out today. I got some exciting news. I don't know if you've heard this, Scott DeHuff, back there behind the glass, but Lunch with a Legend featuring DeMarcus Ware presented by Hendrick's Gin. Friday, August 17th at Ruth Chris's Steakhouse in DTC. It's really cool. Business lunch with D-Ware, intimate setting. Zach and Stokely will be broadcasting live. All you have to do to reserve a seat, give us a call, 720-908-0298. That's 720-908-0298 to reserve your seat today. That's lunch with a legend, DeMarcus Ware. That's going to be a great, great day. All right. So, moving on. Vance Joseph, he called Case Keenum. Do we have that sound where he calls Case Keenum a game manager? Ben, do we have that up? Yeah. Okay. Go ahead and play that for us.
Well, most games are lost and won. You know, as a NFL quarterback, as a starter, you have to be a game manager. You know, when folks say, well, I don't want a game manager. And I say, I do. You know, I want a guy who's going to take care of the football and manage the football game for us. Someone spoke to it earlier. You know, what's your formula to win? We don't know yet. But I know one thing, taking care of the football, that's part of it. You know, so that's one of Case's strengths, taking care of the football.
Yeah. See, you know, it's really interesting how guys get labeled or guys get angry about being called a game manager. And it's, for me, Troy, it's funny because I'm with Vance, man. I think being a game manager is important. You gotta manage, as a quarterback, you gotta manage the game. You gotta manage situations. You gotta manage critical situations. You've gotta play, you gotta be able to play complementary football. You gotta understand the time. You gotta understand, you know, the clock. You gotta understand the score. Like, that to me is the ultimate compliment. This guy can manage a game. I mean, I think that's important, and oftentimes it's looked at as a derogatory term. I don't see it that way at all.
Yeah, when you talk about guys, the check down guy and the play it safe guy, there was a negative connotation of that for years.
Right.
But the league is in a cyclical nature now where it's risk averse. Nobody throws picks anymore. I think Cam led with picks last year at 16.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody throws interceptions anymore. The days of 38 touchdowns and 21 picks, they don't exist. Case Keenum had a terrific season last year. 22 touchdowns, 7 picks. The league is full of game managers now. Outside of, I mean, Tom Brady manages the game, but outside of the elite of Brady, Rodgers, and Breeze, who else are, you know, then you get into that next tier,
mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson type guys, but the next tier of guys, if you're going to be in the top 10, you have to manage the game. You have to manage the game. It's a criticism of Kirk Cousins. Really talented quarterback. The Vikings think he's more talented than Case Keenum, but he turned the ball over a little more. I mean, Keenum last year did not turn the ball over. So I agree with you. It's absolutely not a negative connotation, especially after the Broncos quarterbacks were a dumpster fire a year ago. 22 picks. Only the Cleveland Browns with DeShone Kizer, a rookie, were worse. It's not a negative thing to not turn the ball over and force the other team to play against this defense for the length of the field. Keenum said it perfectly. He wants every drive to end in a kick.
Yeah.
Field goal, extra point, or a punt. That means no turnovers.
Right.
He's right. I know that sounds boring. It does, but the league in itself is risk averse right now. And taking care of the football benefits you greatly in this current modern NFL.
Just look at the way the league has, look at the way the league has evolved into the quick passing game. Like, I remember being a part of the Broncos when We put in the smoke screen, the smoke and the bubble screen. Like, I remember doing that. You know, it's funny. ESPN, this is years ago when I first retired, and it was myself and, you know, and there's a bunch of guys, but, the Sunday Countdown crew had Michael Irvin on it. And so we're going to run, they want to run a demo because this is like 2001, 2002. They want to run a demo on bubble screen. And so they ask me to come and be involved in the bubble screen. And so I come down to the studio, you know, and we're going to tape this thing, right? And so they're like, can you explain how this, like how you guys block, like how you call it, how you block it? So I explain it. I take us through this whole demo, and then we're about to tape it. Michael Irvin's like, I got this. I'll do it. And I'm going, like you've never run a, like, he was listening to me on how to, the, like, all the coaching points on bubble screen. I was like, you never run a bubble screen. Yeah, I know, but you just taught it, so let me teach you, because, like, I'm the wide receiver, so I want to run the bubble. Like, he'd never run a bubble screen. He didn't even know what it was. And he retired the same time I did. You know, we came in the league, I think, probably pretty close to the same year. Or maybe he was a year before me or whatever. But the point being is that at one point, that wasn't even, like, we ran seven-step drops and five-step drops and, you know, and when we pushed the ball down the football field, the football has evolved to the point where, come on, how many legit pass rush opportunities? If you drop back 30 times, you get maybe 12 legit chances to rush the passer.
I'd say more like 7 to 8.
I mean,
because the ball's out so quickly, right, and the route concepts are so fast and shorter.
Right. We've seen it at Broncos camp. We've seen Case Keenum. I mean, how many times does he hold the ball more than 2 seconds? How many times have you seen the ball out of his hand in under 2 seconds into the flat? Be it a back, be it a receiver, be it a pick route, be it whatever.
Yeah, boom, boom, out. And the other, he was 4 for 5 for roughly 30 yards. I mean, it wasn't his best day out there. One of his best passes was he did move around. What did he do? Threw it away.
Mm-hmm.
Live to fight another day.
Right.
There's value in that, too.
Right. How many times have I seen, it goes back, I don't know if you've ever seen this film of Brett Favre, when they were running, anytime they ran, and it just evolved in practice. Anytime they run a wide handoff, like an 18 handoff, in the backside, the X receiver. So 18 handoff is a strong handoff, and the backside X receiver was uncovered. And so one day in practice, he's like, shoot, I could just throw a slant over there. We'd pick up an automatic 8 yards. It's probably a better play than what we've got here. And he talked to the coaches, and we don't do that. You know, we hand the ball off. We're, you know, setting them the. So one day in practice, he just looked at his receiver, and I can't remember which receiver it was. Maybe it was Freeman or whatever, but he gave him the signal to run a slant here. So he went fake. He faked the wide handoff, just turned around and bulleted the slant. Freeman caught it, and the quarterback corner had to rally up, and it was like a 9-yard gain. And then it became part of their offense. Like, hey, if they're not going to cover that guy, if they're going to be 12 yards off, in that, we'll just throw that, we'll either throw a smoke screen, there's no real, you know, you're just blocking, it's like an RPO, a run pass option. I have seen so many of those where a cornerback is off coverage and they turn around and they run everybody's running handoff, like 14, 15, whatever it is, and they just go throw it to the smoke, they just throw it to the receiver. Like, he's uncovered, throw it to him. Automatic 6-yard gain. Okay, we're moving on. And there's been a ton of that. So the whole system, the game management thing is a good thing. I mean, it's a really good thing.
Well, again, as a Bronco fan, you would take boring when it comes to turnovers. You don't need the excitement of turnovers. And this can be a dynamic offense. And again, last year, ask Minnesota fans, Case at 22 touchdowns and 7 picks. No one was saying that was a boring offense. It's not Air Coryell.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Mike Shanahan offense that you played with. It's not the Kyle Shanahan offense of the Atlanta Falcons. It's not the Peyton Manning offense, you know, of 14, 13 and 14. But this current league in 2018, you can win with efficiency.
Right.
You can win with efficiency. If, again, I say that with the qualifier with this defense. Some teams you'd have to be a little more explosive offensively because you can't stop people. But they have a defense that's built to play with a lead, folks. So if you can keep them up 7-0, 10-7, 13-10, guess who it allows back into the game consistently? Von Miller, your best player. You're trailing 10-0. You're trailing 14-3 as they were for much of the final 12 games of the season. It's hard to get him involved consistently. They couldn't get takeaways last year. In part because they were always trailing. So, game manager, that negative connotation has gone. It's completely dissolved.
Right.
That is not a negative word in football these days.
You got a question for me or a question for Troy? We'll do question mark at the top of the hour. TheRamosLaw.com. Text line 303-713-1043 is that number. 303-713-1043. In regards to Case Keenum, and there's been a lot of optimism There's a lot of optimism with the offensive players, a lot of optimism with the defensive players about the potential of this offense and what they've seen from Case Keenum, what they've seen from Bill Musgrave, what they've seen from just this offense in general. So I would ask you, Troy, and you've been out there every day and you talk to these guys, is it because this offense is so much different? Is it because Case Keenum is so much different? Is it because of the leadership factor? Is it because of all those qualities? Is it because of the accuracy and the ball out of his hand really quickly? Or do you think some of it is because they were so awful last year that anything is better? Like, I mean, how much of it is real and how much of it is wishful thinking because of what they've seen the last couple of years?
Well, there's part of that. Let's be honest. Like, if you're eating ground beef and all of a sudden you get a decent steak, you feel like, man, I'm living. You know, life's right again. And that's part of it. Like, you watch Keenum and he looks like a real NFL quarterback. Like, oh, this is what it's supposed to look like. We don't throw picks every other possession. We don't have balls hitting off guys' helmets. We don't have balls 7 yards overthrown when someone's wide open. He makes all the throws he's supposed to make. Is he, you know, an elite quarterback? We're not saying that. I'm just saying he executes the plays as they're drawn up, and so guys start getting confidence in him that he can do it. So that's part of it. That's part of it. The other thing is Bill Musgrave is showing tendencies early in camp to be more creative. I saw a reverse the other day. I've seen different sets. I've seen four wide. I've seen wide where you have Demaryius Thomas and Cortland Sutton, and you have Emmanuel Sanders inside. You have Deshaun Hamilton. You have four receivers now. Last year they had 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
That was DT and then a kind of quarter/half season of Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, Benny Fowler was their third receiver, caught 2 touchdowns the first game, basically disappeared.
Right.
They had no tight end.
He dropped one in the Hall of Fame game. Just to make us feel, yeah.
Yeah. So again, that was your third receiver last year. So there's an upgrade in talent, and Cortland Sutton's talent is real. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders told me he's never had a teammate that could get a 50-50 ball in High Point like Cortland Sutton. He agreed with me. It's like, it's more like 80-20. So there's a weapon there. Now he's got to learn more than the fade route. I get it, but there's a red zone weapon there. They were terrible. The worst in the league in the red zone last year. So the optimism is you have a functioning quarterback with confidence, a positive energy guy. You have a line that, at least with the starters, should be better, lacks depth. And you have now 4 possible receivers, if not 5, if Jake Butt, who for me has been clearly the best tight end in camp, progresses. So that's the optimism. It's not hope, 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 hope. Hope's not a strategy.
Right.
They have real talent. Now, how quickly it all comes together and coalesces, I don't know that. That's where I'm saying pump the brakes a little bit.
But I think one of the really cool things, and I'll let you touch on this real quick, like Emmanuel Sanders is not adverse to moving inside.
Well, he's buying in.
Right. And I think you know, that was a guy that probably in the past would have said, I don't want to do it. But you see, you have confidence in the quarterback that you have and the ability that I'm going to get the ball with this guy. Like, you buy into that. Like that has to, in and of itself, be a great sign for this Broncos team.
Well, again, Sanders knows that he's kind of playing for his next contract, and it probably won't be with the Broncos. And he's not going to move inside if he's going to get 3 passes for 32 yards and get his head play, you know, be a human pinball. But with Keenum, the ball's on time that you've talked about, Mark, hits him in stride. He can turn his body, and he's going to go 8 catches for 111 yards and a touchdown. Sign me up. And he's told me that, hey, I trust Case Keenum. He trusts him. You're not moving into the slot at his age and this point in his career if you don't trust the quarterback's going to get you in the ball in position to help you succeed.
And there's no question, and that permeates not only on the offensive side of the ball, but it gives you great confidence on the defensive side of the ball to say, hey, listen, if we can play good, if we can create 3 and outs or we can create turnovers, we've got the kind of offense and the kind of quarterback that can take advantage of that and put points on the board.